This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome, What the Puckers. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. The All-Star break is over. We have got just a couple months until the Stanley Cup playoffs now. The Capitals are finally playing some hockey in the last couple weeks, but joining me as always, we got my buddy Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
I was doing better before you blew out my eardrums.
Should have warned you. I was about
that
to go into
so loud.
Full on show mode.
Welcome. I was like, oh my God.
I'm right here. You don't have to scream.
Oh my God, it's so loud.
So what's up, man? So we got the All-Star break to talk about. We got a couple losses to talk about with the Caps. Let's start off with the losses for the Caps. I mean, why not? Caps did not look good. After having a couple days off due to the blizzard, now they have a couple days off from the All-Star break, and again, they look sluggish and slow. What's going on with these guys now? Did they break their rhythm, and now they're kind of lost? What's going on with them?
The snowstorm messed everybody up. Didn't just mess up us in traffic and mess up them as well. No, I mean, we don't play for, 8 days. Your timing's going to be off. The little passes that were clicking, the little moves, and that Kuznetsov behind the net slick pass that no one seems to know how to defend correctly, all of that stuff that was working, then it goes away. Just timing wise, it's all been it'll be off at that point. So for them to have had that kind of time off was definitely a problem. And then they go into the All-Star break, so then they have another 5 days where they're off, and then the team gets back together again. So it was not a shock at all, first of all, that they had that loss to Philly. It was impressive to see that they were able to come back and almost get something out of it. And then the Florida game, you expect a little bit more. But then again, thinking about it, that's what, 2 games in a couple of weeks? 2 weeks?
3 weeks?
3 weeks, something like that. I mean, when that kind of thing – I wonder if the schedule actually updated there on the website too.
I think it did, yeah.
Show. So, like, if you go and you look at the schedule, you're just like, what happened? It looks so – the last game they played was on the 19th. Then this is in January. They didn't play again until the 27th. And then they don't play again – until the 2nd of February. So it's weird. So it wasn't a shock at all. And I think the next couple of games are also going to be a little interesting, where they're going up against the Islanders and the Devils. I think by Saturday against the Devils, they should be back into form. It's almost like the season started again.
Yeah.
And they're sort of still getting to know each other again. I think after, they're like, oh, hey, it's you. I haven't seen you in forever, man. And so it's like, it's going to take a little while to get back into the swing of things and to get their timing back down correct. And for line mates to be able to click again like they were before. It doesn't help that they have guys that are either suspended or injured that are not playing their user on those lines. I mean, they moved Johansson to the third line because Beagle's out, and then Johansson got hurt, and he missed the game against Florida with an upper body injury. And so you have all this line shuffling going around, and then you have no games to have, and you can't have practice when you can't get out of your front door because of the snow, but you don't have any time to connect with the players and to develop chemistry with them, you're going to struggle. And so the last two games, I kind of chalk up to the fact that they just hadn't played together in a while, and they just were kind of – it was going to be bad from the beginning.
They were out of sync, definitely. You could definitely tell this
– yeah, definitely in the Philly game, you could tell that there was just like – it was just so awkward. And it seemed like they'd almost dummied the plan a little bit so that they could, because they knew that trying to do too much was going to make things a bigger problem because they hadn't played in for so long. So we weren't even seeing, at least against the Flyers, we weren't seeing the full Capitals team.
No, we weren't. And I was expecting a lot more in that Florida game just due to the fact that both the Panthers and the Capitals are leading their respective divisions. So I was expecting a really hard-hitting game. I was expecting a lot of intense hockey, but the Capitals were not ready to do that. I don't know if you saw this on the web today, but it looks like they went to the White House today as a team building trip, I guess, and Trotz is real big on those, so that might help those guys out a little bit, getting back into the rhythm of things. But another big loss with that Florida game that we had was no Alex Ovechkin. He got suspended for missing the All-Star game. I'm a little worried, not going to lie. Ovi was benched earlier in the year for not waking up on time and missing practice, and we saw what happened against San Jose when Ovi wasn't on the ice at all. And then he gets suspended, can't play this game, and again, we see what happens to this team without Ovi on the ice in any way. We've always talked about how great it is to have other people besides Ovi and Backstrom being the ones doing the scoring. But I think we've seen, especially this season, how important Ovechkin is to this team, not just as a scoring guy or whatever, but for motivation and to keep being a good captain. That was always a big thing, is that he was a selfish guy, he wasn't a good captain. But when he's not on the bench, he's not on the ice, look what happens to this team. They kind of crumble.
See, but some of that I still attribute to the fact that they hadn't played in so long. Yes, they show this stat, which also, did you find it weird that it was the Caps guys on a national broadcast?
Yeah, that was weird. Here,
like, Beninati used to do national broadcasts, but to have Lachlan and Allen made it, but they did a good job of staying, I think for the most part, they did a good job of staying impartial.
Joe B.
And they usually do it on the Caps broadcast, but like it was definitely weird at first.
Hearing Joe B. screaming score when the Panthers scored, that was weird.
Yeah, that hurt. That hurt a little bit. Hurt me in the heart. I attribute a lot of their play last night not to a lack of Ovechkin. Yes, having him there obviously would have been great. Do I still think they win that game even with Ovechkin playing? No. I still think they lose that game because no one else was playing very well. So, I mean, let's look at one play in particular. I remember Orlov that led to their – I don't know if it led to a goal, but it led to a power play for the Panthers where the puck was going into the Caps end, and he was trying to stay sort of box the guy out from getting to the puck, and the players got around him because Orlov didn't have his skates going quick enough. It's just things like that where you're not moving your legs because you haven't played in so long, and so you're not going to play as well as you should. So even with Ovechkin, I think they lose that game. Yes, the team obviously doesn't do as well with him because teams have to focus so much of their game plan on stopping him, which opens up room for everybody else. So yes, losing Ovechkin hurts, but I think the fact that they haven't played in so long is going to be a bigger problem. But with the way their schedule looks like for the next, at least the next month, they're going to have plenty of time to connect.
They will have time to connect. We'll figure out how they get back into the swing of things. But like you also said, Ovi's coming back, but we still don't know what's going on with Marcus Johansson. He's got an upper body injury. He missed the last game. Taylor Chorney apparently has the flu, and he potentially might not be playing in the next game. So really, we still have this influx of new talent coming in and new lines coming in. We saw Mike Richards. He moved up to the third line for a little bit at center. He's still getting acclimated to just the team in general and being back in hockey full time. So really, with a team that has a lot of depth and that's been playing very well, it's still these kind of injuries and people moving around and line shuffling and not being able to gel or whatever, that still is going to affect this team. Even though they are looking great for the most part this entire season, it's crazy to think that this team halfway through the year is still going to have to overcome these kind of challenges because injuries come up from all over the place, and we don't know who's out next or who's coming back. I mean, Brooks Orpik is still a big question mark. But how does this team move forward? Do they just kind of go like, all right, well, this guy's down, somebody is moving over, let's just figure it out? Like, what do they have to do?
Well, it's based on your depth. If you have the depth in the minors or the depth in your healthy scratches of guys that can fill in when needed, then you're gonna be able to make up for the lost time that you may have. I mean, look, Orpik and Carlson went down, and guys stepped up and were able to play in their place. Losing someone like Johansson and not being able to play Ovechkin in one night when you're already out Beagle, it's gonna be a problem. But I think if they have guys that can step up and they have guys from the minors that can come up and play, then they're going to be all right. And you looked at last night as an opportunity for a guy like Stan Galiev to start making a name for himself by playing on the first line with Backstrom and Oshie. And I feel like I barely saw him out there. So if he's not the answer, and you got to find someone that can step in when Ovechkin is out or someone's out that can fill in nicely. And we saw Richards filled in nicely on the third line between Wilson and Chimera. And so I think for some extent, I'm not too worried about the injuries right now. I mean, the Ovechkin suspension, and he wasn't the only person suspended for missing the All-Star game.
It was Taves.
Jonathan
too,
Taves.
Right?
Yeah, Taves also got suspended for the next game back for the Blackhawks. And we can talk about that whole suspension thing in a moment if you'd like in the NHL, whether we think that's correct or not, the way they do that. But it's I mean, the team right now, a lot of the way they've been playing these last two games, I attribute to the fact that they just hadn't played in so long. And it's almost like the season started over for them again, which with the way their schedule looks, like I was saying, for the next month, they're going to have plenty of time to get to know one another again.
Yeah, and Katie Brown, I think Katie Hockey is her Twitter handle. She brought up the fact that they play, 34 games in 69 days. It is a ton of hockey.
That's a lot of hockey. I mean, in February alone, they have one day in February. That doesn't make sense. They're going to have one part of February they have 2 days off. Otherwise, they're playing every other day. And it's almost every, except until the last week of February, it's every Tuesday, every Thursday, and every Saturday they have a game. It's a lot of hockey.
It's good for the guys, though, if they like being in a routine. We know Braden Holtby likes to be in a routine. He likes to stay in that groove.
He likes to make club saves on the bench.
I saw that. That was pretty great by Holtby.
I got this, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah,
keep myself in shape. You're just snagging pucks out of the air.
I could be great even on the bench. That's cool. You were bringing up depth and everything, though. Let's before we talk about the schedule, though. Two names that we've seen a lot of with the Cavs coming up: Aaron Ness and Zach Sill. But I think
Sill. We gonna get suspended again?
I think they've each played almost the amount of games you're allowed to come up for. They should both be around.
I think Ness, as I was reading today, doesn't count. I think it might be from Katie Brown as well. Doesn't count.
She's so smart,
but she's very good.
Yeah.
I think it was. Ness doesn't count because it's an emergency recall because Chorney's
got the flu,
puking or whatever's going on, or got, you know, it's coming out of both ends. I don't know. Oh. So sorry. So too much? No. So I don't know if his counts, but they've got other guys in the minors they can call if that becomes the case. I mean, you can recall Connor Carrick. Maybe you give Madison Bowery a shot. If you need someone on offense, maybe you bring up Riley Barber, who had a hat trick in a recent Hershey Bears game. So they have guys that they can bring up to play. It's just a matter of who's been playing well and who do they want to bring up. I know you want Nathan Walker to come up.
I want history.
I still don't have that. Was it a bobblehead?
It was a snow globe.
Snow globe, thank you. It's a snow globe thing. I want that so bad. I almost got one too on eBay, and then
you got outbid.
Stole it, Dad.
Well, yes. I have a confession to make.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
I was the one to outbid you,
Nathan. Son of a.
I got a funny story to tell you about the flu, real quick. Not hockey related. This is why
$30 right now on Jesus, eBay. I don't want it that bad.
Yeah. So this is a funny flu story I got to tell you about. All right. So
this can't go well, but all right, go ahead.
I was at my old job and I was out for a couple days and I called my boss up and I was like, look, I'm not going to be in today. I can't keep anything in. I'm very sick. So after being out for 3 days, I come back and my boss, who wasn't there yet, I walk in and all these people passing their offices like, hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going? I put my stuff down in my office and I come back out and I'm like, oh, feeling a lot better. And this girl that I actually liked a whole lot said, so Aaron told us you had it coming out both ends. How do you feel?
Oh.
And he walked in at that moment. And I'm like, oh, he told you that, did he? Well, that's great. I just remember getting really loud and looking at him like, I'm so glad he shared my personal information. So I'm like,
that's not nice.
Not nice. Well, first off, the boss should not be sharing information of an employee's health thing to another employee. But
true.
But given the fact that it was a girl that I was really into and I really liked, knowing that she knew that about me already was killed it.
Yeah, that. That was not being a good wingman.
No, not.
He's not being a good bro there.
No, not.
That was very disappointing.
Not cool. But so
how the hell did we get on this subject?
You brought up flu-like symptoms.
Chorney.
Yeah.
No, me and well, Chorney got. Yeah, but it's because of Taylor Chorney's fault. It's all Chorney's fault.
It's true.
It's our new thing. No, but I think a lot of the way the Caps been playing lately, I attribute to the fact that there's a snowstorm, so they missed 8 days. And probably a bunch of practice days because they couldn't get out of their freaking houses. I mean, Ovechkin's out, snow blowing day, people's driveways and streets and whatever else. And Backstrom's apparently shoveling, which helps his wrist. So I don't know. But I think a lot of it is attributed to the fact that they just hadn't played in so long. But the fact that they have these so many games coming up is definitely going to help them get back in the swing of things. And I think when Ovechkin's going to come back, he's going to be ready to play. Hopefully, whatever little thing that's been bothering him has been, for the most part, healed, or at least is not going to nag him quite as much. And when Johansson comes back, and we may see the return of Brooks Orpik.
That's pretty very, soon. Very so, true.
Well, but even we see the return of Orpik, I think things are getting interesting where the team may start getting healthy, and it's getting healthy at the right time as they make that push towards the playoffs. I mean, I'm not exactly concerned about them missing the playoffs at this time. Not yet, anyways. They're still 15 points up on the Rangers with two less games played.
And did you see that Las Vegas is no longer taking bets on who will win the Metropolitan?
They're like, it's not fair to do that anymore.
It's not going to pay out anything.
It's kind of obvious. Who has a pretty good shot? I mean, they play, what, 82 games. They still have – I mean, they got a little over – they've played a little more than half the season right now. But it's you know, they got – they have to keep going. They can't play poorly like they've had the last two games. There's no more excuses. You know, maybe you get a little bit against the Islanders if you have a sluggish start. But after that, it's game on the rest of the way because you got plenty of time to make up any lost ground you may have had. Lost ground, they're up by 15 games points. But any problems you have should be made up. Any chemistry that's been lost should be back by the, you know, the game against the Islanders or the Devils at the very latest.
Yeah, at least with the Devils. But let's talk about Orpik. You brought him up. He actually practiced with the team.
I did bring him up.
Yeah, yeah. So Orpik came out and he said that his bone needed 8 weeks to heal, and he's now gotten to that point, and now it's just getting back into, like, player shape. So he's saying his bone needed 8 weeks. So that was either a deep bone bruise,
phrasing,
or it was a break of some kind. And again, no one's really talking about.
They're super not telling anybody anything. They're real good at being like, he's injured. Where? Don't worry about it.
It's the opposite of my old boss. Is that that's what these guys are doing?
So. Now, I think NHL teams, I know the Capitals have been, and I'm sure NHL teams in general have always been very good at being, like, very secretive. He's hurt. Where? Don't worry about it. It's not a problem.
Why are you asking?
So,
what's that your business? Why is that your business?
Yeah, don't worry about it, guys. Okay? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, so with Orpik coming back in, Chorney being sick right now, but Chorney has looked pretty good. I mean, I guess you have Orpik and Carlson get back together. Those guys are paired off together, and I guess Chorney would be the one sitting out. Nate Schmidt has looked good. Dmitry Orlov has looked good. I think Chorney is just kind of the odd man out once Orpik shows back up.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the way that the defensive pairings were before Orpik went down, where it was Orpik and Carlson, Alzner and Niskanen, who Niskanen didn't have the greatest game the other day, and Orlov and Schmidt. Although, if Orlov doesn't wake up, he may find himself in the press box because he hasn't been playing the best of hockey recently.
He has not looked good. He really
then
hasn't.
Then again, so have a lot of other guys that have looked pretty subpar.
The only guy that looked like he was semi-awake this past game was Andrei Burakovsky. And
dude, his goal was ridiculous.
It was really good.
That was pretty. You know, also, though, I was just going to say someone else and give him credit, and I don't remember who it was. Oh, Oshie. Not on the power play. Power play, he was a little sluggish. Yeah. But I thought he had some nice moves. I thought he made a lot of good plays, so I'm relatively happy with Oshie and the way he more or less played the other night. But, I mean, it's not like everyone was just off. Like, no one was on the same page.
Yeah, so let's chalk it up to days off, getting back from vacation. I remember my first day back from vacation when I'm at work. I don't feel like doing anything.
Yeah, you're getting back in the swing of things. You got to get the form back down and know where everything's going to be. It takes a while.
Yeah. So hopefully by this Saturday, they're back in form. I want to see a better game against the Islanders. I want to see a better game against the Devils. Let's talk about the All-Star game, though. I watched a little bit of the skills competition. I watched the Metropolitan game, and they got knocked out in the first round. Let's not do that when there's another tournament coming up in a couple months, guys. All right, let's make sure we don't do that again.
Yeah, I think that would be a bad plan.
But what did you think of the skills competition for this All-Star game? Let's just stick to the Capitals right now. We'll talk about the actual All-Star game and the whole weekend and around the NHL. But, like, how do you think the Caps, Backe, Cousy, Holpe fared in for this All-Star weekend?
I thought it was fine. I think the guys were having fun. I think Holpe just did what Holpe does and just sort of played his game and didn't really care about all the nonsense going on around him. And I think the same thing with that. I think if anybody had the most, it seemed like the most entertaining time out of it was Kuznetsov, because he's just kind of like Ovechkin in the way that they're like kind of goofy guys who like to say silly things and be in the spotlight to some extent. And so Kuzi's... I was a little disappointed in Kuznetsov in the skills competition. I really I had higher expectations, and he just didn't.
Well, like like him being able to get into those tiny little nets, you know. Not, I think he missed one. He got 4 out of 5.
That Backstrom or Kuznetsov?
I thought it was Kuznetsov.
Well, I think they both did well. I kind of like, I didn't watch the game. I watched a little bit of the game, but I watched the skills competition. That stuff's more interesting, anyways.
Did you watch any of the dumbass Friday concert crap? I didn't even.
I was. Where was I on Friday?
I don't know, but I don't care. I was probably home. I still didn't watch it.
Out to eat, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, no, I had no – I mean, I was looking at stuff on Twitter, and everyone was just like – it was painfully awkward, the whole thing. Like, some players had no interest in talking, and, like, it was just – it seemed so bad.
You know who's the who was the most entertaining person in this whole All-Star game? I'm not going to say John Scott. Jaromir Jagr was friggin' hilarious this entire time. When they did the coin flip or whatever it was to see who would play first, Jagr's like, we'll play the first game. They're like, why'd you choose that?
No, that was the other guy.
No,
was it was Tavares because he was making fun of Jagr for being old. He's like, we got to keep Jagr fresh.
Yeah, and well, then they went up to Jagr and he was like, I'm cool with that because if we lose, that means I can go home quicker.
Oh yeah.
I was like, wow.
He like turns to the fans and apologizes, and I was like, Jagr does not give an F.
He
like,
doesn't want to be there.
Not care less.
He's like, I don't want to be here. I'm sorry, I don't. I want to go home. But yeah, so Kuznetsov.
He didn't want to go to the All-Star game, which I thought was pretty funny.
No, he didn't. And the really funny thing is, think about Jagr, didn't want to go to the All-Star game, kept telling people not to put him in there, and then he misses the third period of the first game back because he was having some back issues up against the Capitals this past Tuesday. So, I mean, really, it could hurt him more than anyone thought. But let's go back to Kuznetsov and talk about the stuff he did for skills. I don't think a lot of people got that was an Ovechkin homage for his shootout attempt.
Which one?
He put the cowboy hat on. He put the glasses on.
Oh, I thought that was more of like I took it as like a Southern thing.
No, that was the tribute to Ovi. Remember, Ovi did two sticks, and
he had the thing, and he had the hat with the Canadian flags when they were.
Yeah, that was supposed to be an homage to Ovechkin, and no one got it.
I don't know where that one was. No, I mean, I thought it was funny. It's just like, he needs to be more of a showman. Like, see all the other guys doing stuff. Like, Brent Burns brought out, like, his kid.
And then he brought out a Chewie mask.
He brought out what?
A Chewbacca mask.
Oh, yeah. Well, that I thought was actually really clever because there's a meme going around the internet.
That's for years that's been going around.
Yeah, of him with the thing. So it's funny that he was like, haha, I will take your joke and use it as my own. And so that was good. No, I mean, the whole thing, it's comparable to the NBA dunk contest in the sense that, like, you try and get more and more amazing or ridiculous.
Right.
For hockey, it's harder because, A, you're on ice, so that's a bit of a, you know, movement challenge. Although hopefully not for hockey players. They should be used to it by now. But you have less opportunities, and there's someone trying to stop you from scoring. And, by the way, the goalies, a lot less entertaining this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
Remember, was it last year where they were like, so who was it that like had his phone out and was taking a selfie?
Yeah.
I don't remember who that was, but that was really funny. And he was just trying to save it backwards and just like laid down. And like, it was funny when the goalies got into it. What are they told? They're like, don't do it. You're messing up the players. Like, they get distracted. but I just like, because, you know, it's flashy and silly is what gets credit. And like, Subban being Jagr was actually really funny.
That was very funny too, yeah. Overall, I think a lot of people were happy with the All-Star game and the new way it's contested. But really, I was a little bored with this year's version. Like you said, skills competition was fun to watch, but at the same time, nothing really new, nothing really fresh. It seemed as if the guys were just kind of going through the motion. We don't have flashy Ovechkin doing his thing, but we have like Kuznetsov, who's like, he's a little timid, you know, and we have Backe, who, you know, kind of smiles sometimes, doesn't really want to get into the spotlight a lot. So it's
no, Backstrom could not care less about being in the spotlight.
It's just a different tone, I guess. But anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Oh, let's see. Congrats are in order to Kuznetsov. He was named the NHL's first star of the month for January. So that's impressive. He came in second in the NHL in points for the month was 16 points in 10 games, scoring a point in 7 of those 10 games, which is very impressive for the, what, second-year player now? Third-year player, something like that?
Second-ish.
Yeah, second and a half? Second and a quarter? What else are we talking about? Johansson, we talked about he's out with an upper body injury. He's day-to-day. We'll see when he comes back. And the NHL has announced when they will be having those new games for the ones that were postponed for the Caps against Anaheim and Pittsburgh. It'll be Caps-Pens on Tuesday, March 1st at 7:30, and Caps-Ducks will be on Sunday, April 10th at 7:30.
So they're actually extending the season a day.
They are extending the season by one whole day, but they're not the only ones. The Islanders and Flyers or someone also had their game postponed. They're also – so the whole thing was – it was like Saturday, the 9th of April. Everybody was going to play their last game, and that was it. Everyone was going to end on the same day. So they're going to have two extra games. Two extra games on that Sunday, April 10th.
And so the Capitals are in St. Louis the night before. I'm not really sure where the Ducks are coming from. They might be coming from Colorado, if I'm not mistaken. But
I hate when they end the season on the road.
Yeah, but
I guess they won't now.
Yeah, they're not going to do that now, but...
Never mind, it worked out well in the end.
Still some travel for both teams, so... And who knows how much that game is actually going to mean towards the end of the year.
Wait, what time is that St. Louis game?
8 o'clock.
So like a normal time.
Yeah, 8 o'clock and then the Sunday
game. We'll fly out probably that night, sleep in their beds, probably skip the morning skate. That's fine. Yeah. And it's 7:30 game, so it's not bad.
And depending on how much, we'll see. Well, I don't want to say too much about what to expect in the next 2 months or so from the Caps. But
we'll see how much the lineup. I mean, the lineup could change by then.
Yeah.
We had those rumors about Bifugliine, and that. I'm just kidding, Dustin Byfuglien, and his name does not make sense in the way it is spelled. It really doesn't. And now there's a rumor of Dan Hamhuis, the defenseman from the Canucks. The Caps may be looking at him. So,
well, now with Orpik looking like he's on the mend, I don't really see anything happening at the trade.
I think they're going to make a move for somebody.
I don't know.
I think they're going to make a move for somebody that's an upgrade over Chorney.
I don't know. We'll see. I think they're happy where they're at, but we'll see.
I mean, my guess is they make that move just because they can't risk if they want to make a deep playoff run. You need to have those guys that have been around before. So if you can bring in a guy like Dan, especially with Orlov, if he continues to struggle a little bit, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they went out and were able to bring in Hamhuis or someone like that.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. The trade deadline's coming up, so who knows. So
when is it again? You told me last week.
I know.
It's the 29th?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like Monday, yeah. Which is weird. I think it used to always be on Tuesday.
Yeah. Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
No, that's all. I think that's everything. That's all I got on my my notes.
All right. Well, next up, we are going to go down on the farm. But first, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
That time you didn't blow out my eardrums, so that was much appreciated.
You were prepared for this one.
I think you weren't quite as loud. Let's see. In the past week, Hershey went 2-0-1 with back-to-back wins over Syracuse and an overtime loss to Albany. The Bears are currently second in the Atlantic Division with a record of 24-13-9, good for 57 points, 3 back of first place Wilkes-Barre Scranton, who have played 2 less games. So the Bears got to keep going on a winning streak. Hope the baby Pens lose some so they can get that first spot in their division. The Bears will be back at it this weekend with back-to-back-to-back games starting on Friday in Binghamton, Saturday at the Giant Center against Lehigh Valley, and Sunday also at the Giant Center against Binghamton. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-1 with a win and a loss to Norfolk, or Norfolk, depending on where you're from. Stingrays are currently third in the South Division with a record of 22-16-5, good for 49 points, which puts them 4 back of second place Atlanta and 12 back of first place Florida. South Carolina will be back at it on Friday at home against Brampton, which I didn't realize was in Canada. Saturday against Florida, and then next Tuesday and Wednesday they'll have back-to-back games against Missouri and Tulsa. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Guess who's going to go to the Sunday game in Hershey? This guy.
Yes, you are the person you're referring to.
That's
I think that is free Hershey Park pass night.
Yes, I'm never going to use that.
I think Sunday, I'm sorry, Saturday is, what was it? It's they give you candy as you leave.
Well, I mean, the Hershey Park pass is probably worth a little bit more.
I don't know, man. Free candy's pretty cool.
I do like free candy. It's always the best at Hershey. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Like the Hershey bars always taste better there?
Well, they are the makers of it.
Very true.
So if they suck at it, that would be a problem.
Yeah. So I'm excited. This is my first game in two seasons, I think.
I haven't been in a couple of years now.
Yeah, it's been a little while for me. And this is my first hockey game of the year because I haven't been to a Caps game yet. So I have been hockey star.
Well, we all make mistakes.
I know. You need to go buy me a Caps ticket. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, I think you're dreaming, buddy.
I know. All right. All right, go Bears. I'll see you Sunday. And if anyone in Hershey is listening to this and would like to get me press passes, I will be greatly appreciated. But anyway. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL.
Oh, it's a rave.
Wah, somebody scream. All right, everybody, let's go around the NHL. We are going to talk about more than just Caps. We are going to talk about suspensions. We are going to talk about concussions. We are going to talk about John Friggin' Scott. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
I didn't know we were talking about concussions.
They go hand in hand.
Could. I'm sure someone has one at some point in time.
I think a certain suspension you're going to talk about involves a concussion in some way.
It's possible. Let's start in Calgary, where former Capital defenseman Dennis Wideman was an idiot, and he's been suspended for 20 games for violating Rule 40, physical abuse of an official. Physical abuse is a nice way to put it, as Wideman cross-checked an official during the game while he was on his way to the bench. Now, apparently the official missed a call moments before involving Wideman, which I guess Wideman really wanted the official to know he wasn't happy with the lack of a call and decided to express that by cross-checking him, which was kind of rude. So he's going to sit out for 20 games. He's going to be forfeiting something like $500,000 worth of his salary as a result of this. So things are getting a little interesting. And I actually just saw on Twitter just a short time ago a statement from Brian Burke, who is a president of hockey operations for the Calgary Flames. He said, and I quote, "We were informed earlier today that our player, Dennis Wideman, was suspended for contact with an official for contact. That's a nice way to put it. With an official in last Wednesday's game against Nashville. We disagree with the severity of today's suspension ruling and maintain that Dennis's collision with the linesman was unintentional and accidental." It's good luck arguing that one. "We agree that our officials' safety and well-being is of extreme importance in order to allow them to perform their duties. They perform an invaluable but underappreciated role in our game. We support sanctions against players who make deliberate contact with any official. However, unintentional and accidental contact does not occur at times in our game. We will have no further comment on the matter at this time." I just don't see how you can say it was unintentional.
All right, so here's my take on this, okay? Dennis Wideman, I think he got 20 games due to the fact that he doesn't really have a history of this kind of stuff in the league. I think if it was somebody who had a little bit more history with it, they probably would have missed the entire rest. Right. They probably would have missed the entire rest of the season because that was a nasty hit on a ref. How he can say that he didn't see him or whatever, I don't understand.
Oh, he saw him because he had to make sure he hit him correctly.
But moments before that, he was run into the boards, you know, he was obliterated in the board, and there was a call miss there, and his head did hit the boards, so there's no doubt in my mind he did get a concussion, which I think is a part of why he made the decision to go after the ref. Not excusing what he did, because it was stupid, but I think there was more going on in his brain, and he didn't really know where he was, and he just knew, I gotta hit something, because I'm angry, and didn't really realize what he was doing due to a concussion.
Yeah, I think he's a moron. You don't hit the ref. Like, no matter what, you don't hit the ref. You want to be upset, you go and you yell at him. I mean, maybe you get in his face. You don't hit him. But if you're going to, like, grab him to get his attention or, dare I say, even push a referee, you're still going to get in trouble for it. You shouldn't do it. But if that's what you've decided to do, if you've decided to make your case that much, then fine. But you're not going to go up and cross-check a dude in the back. Like, you just don't do it.
No.
And it was ridiculous because you could see the look on the – I think it was the National Predators players' faces.
They're like, what the hell just happened? When they saw it happen.
And they were like, what? What the hell just happened? Like, he just went down. That was ridiculous. Oh, Weidman, you gigantic idiots.
I think what he did was stupid. He does deserve the suspension, but I also think there are some other factors that are going on here. I think his brain got a little scrambled. You know, he wasn't all there. He wasn't 100% sure what he was doing.
No, he's not going to be there because he's suspended.
Yeah, but he got hit in the head and a concussion happened. And I'm not saying what he did was all right. I'm just saying it wasn't just him going, I'm ticked off. I'm going to go hit this guy. It was. I'm ticked off. I'm going to hit this guy. I don't know where I am right now. What's going on? And then he just did it because I think his brain wasn't functioning correctly.
He's a little off.
Yeah.
Well, he'll have plenty of time to get healthy.
That's true.
He's going to have plenty of time. Let's see what else is going on. The NHL announced that the 2017 All-Star Game will take place at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. There's going to be lots of fun things, I'm sure, going on out there, and probably players doing something stupid. The league also announced that they signed Gary Bettman to an extension through 2022 because why not? You know, it could be fun. It isn't like he had three work stoppages during his tenure and an expansion into the southern U.S. that, well, that's really worked out. But, yeah, we're going to be stuck with Bettman for another, I don't know, however many years dealing with his stupidity, I'm sure, even after 2022.
How are you that bad at your job and you still get to keep it? Honestly,
well, we can say that about a lot of people.
The three lockouts. I know he made you a bunch of money with the Winter Classic and the Stadium Series, made a bunch of money with NBC Universal, that deal or whatever. But really, three lockouts, and you're going to be like, yeah, I want to keep this guy on. I want to keep him on. Let's see how many lockouts he can get to. How many can he get? Can we get to six? Let's get to six before he leaves.
I'm sure it's possible.
Let's win a Stanley Cup this season because we don't know what's going to happen next year or the year after with this guy.
Oh, you never know with Batman. You always know it's going to be something bad. Let's go to Toronto, the mecca of hockey, according to themselves and only themselves, revealed their new logo going into next season. It's basically their old logo from the 60s. It wasn't really like they tried to make a big deal out of it, and I was like, guys, it's kind of the same thing. It's really not that big of a deal. And finally, John Scott, the unlikely All-Star participant who was voted to be captain of the Pacific Division by the fans, was named the MVP for the All-Star game after scoring two goals. Suck it, Milbury, you douche. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
This John Scott story is a Disney movie.
They're talking about it becoming a movie, and I want to know who's going to play Milbury. They need someone who can be really good at being a douchebag.
You know who would actually who's really talented, who could be a guy that you could love to hate? Mike Rooker. He could totally be
Milbury. He would be a very good Mike Milbury. You know who could also do it, because he did it in the movie Mystery Alaska, sort of. Mike Myers was very good as the hockey commentator.
He was more like he was like Don Cherry in that, wasn't he? He was
I think he could pull off Milbury.
Yeah, definitely could do that.
He's got to be a little more believable as a human being, but also a little bit more of a D-bag. So, like, both.
I was trying to tell people at work about this whole John Scott story, about how he was voted in, about how they traded him so he couldn't play. He wrote that article, and then it comes out the NHL's like, do you really think your daughters would be proud of you?
That, when I saw that, I was like, are you kidding me?
That is some low stuff right
that,
there.
That is ridiculously absurd that the NHL, anyone that was working for the NHL, thought that was in any way an appropriate thing to say.
It makes you not want to watch hockey, but then when you see what this guy does, he's at the All-Star game, he's having a good time, he gets two goals, he's the captain of the Pacific Division, he wins MVP, he gets a car, and not only does his team win, he then has to get his picture taken with tiny little Bettman. Tiny little Bettman looks like a Smurf next to John Scott. He has to hand John Scott $1 million check. You know how much he was probably like infuriated inside, and he just had to smile and take that picture?
I mean, I don't know how much of that was Bettman per se that caused this whole stupid thing to happen. But
I blame him.
Man, that was entertaining to see him get that. Just be, he could just look at the guys and be like, this middle finger, that's for you and for you and for you.
And he plays for the St. John Ice Caps. And
yeah, he's in the AHL because the league tried to bury him so he wouldn't play in the game.
I bet you another team picks him up and brings him back up to the majors. I bet you. And I thought,
I mean, he's not like that good, but I would not be surprised if someone brought him in as a fourth liner.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think it's funny that the Ice Caps changed their Twitter name to the St. John Scots.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, I have to look that up. That's pretty funny. I didn't know that.
And his shirt, his jersey, everything sold out at the All-Star game. Like, the fans loved this story. It was a big, like, you know, screw you to the NHL.
They did make it. The St. John Scott Ice Caps. That's pretty funny.
I love it. I love it. This is a Disney movie that needs to be made. It is a great story.
Who would play John Scott?
Everyone's saying Liev Schreiber, but given the fact that he is in Goon, I think he can't play John Scott.
Do it.
I don't know. He's so
Wait,
good.
Wait, I have to look up Liev Schreiber now.
Ray Donovan.
No, I know who he is. I'm trying to compare his. Yeah, I think that would actually work. He's 48, though. He's a little old to be playing the role. But no, I would watch it. It would be pretty funny. I imagine the NHL would probably not agree to let them use their likeness or use their teams.
Right.
Like, if any given Sunday, the NFL wouldn't allow, was it Scorsese or Oliver Stone?
Scorsese, wasn't it?
Hold on, I'll look it up. I forget which director it was, but Any Given Sunday was Oliver Stone. NFL wouldn't allow them to, they wanted to use the NFL teams and logos and stuff, and the NFL said no. I mean, it doesn't exactly paint the most flattering image of professional football, but it's also not the worst.
No, there's been way worse out there.
Yeah, so I was a little surprised, but either way, it would be pretty funny if they ended up making that a movie.
What about Shane from The Walking Dead?
He's too busy being Punisher right now.
He could be a good John Scott.
He could. Either way, it'll be incredibly entertaining if they actually make that a movie. Oh, who's going to play Bettman? Jason Alexander from Seinfeld.
I was going to say the dude that played Willard. Or the dude that plays the Penguin in Gotham.
Oh, God, I know his name. He's really good in that show. Shoot, he's also on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, he played the blonde guy with the limp in The Walking Dead.
Yeah. This is going to annoy me now. I have to look this up. Thank you, IMDb. His name is... Where is it? Robin Lord Taylor. No, he's too young to play Batman.
How about
I think he's got to be shorter and look more like an a-hole.
Warwick then... Davis. How about him?
There you go. All right, this has gotten inappropriate.
All right. So, let's end the show. We've been through this before.
Yeah, I guess we could do that.
If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find some of my old workings and some fantastic Capitals stuff at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, have you gotten any in the past week?
You wait until I get to that Hershey Bears game. I'm going to buy one.
Are they going to have one? If you see the Nathan Walker thing, you hook me up.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they have it just laying around every year.
I tried to just get one on eBay. And this guy and I were going back and forth while we were recording. This guy and I were going back and forth in counter offers. He wanted $26, $27 for it. I was like, no. I tried $15. He wouldn't go for that either.
If anybody wants to buy any stuff from me on eBay, you can find me on there. I'm selling Funko Pops.
There you go. But that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, What about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Also, go over to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast and on Twitter at WTP_Podcast. We're always posting our own podcasts. We're posting videos and photos and articles we find interesting. Hope you guys enjoyed the video of the T-Rex figure skate I posted. I thought that was hilarious. I had to share it with you guys. But anyway, this is a weekly show, guys, and we do it every single week. You never know who's going to stop by, and we work hard for you guys, and we do this all for free. You guys listen, you stream, and you download for free. All we ask in return is to please spread the word about What the Puck. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat. Anywhere you are social on the web, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Let's go over the games until we talk again. On Thursday, February 4th, the Capitals staying in town in D.C. up against the Islanders. That game is at 7:30. It's another national game that's on NBC Sports.
It's gone because it's gone well so far.
And then on Saturday, February 6th, the Capitals travel up to New Jersey up against the Devils. This is an early start, 1 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Sunday, February 7th, the Capitals are back in D.C., up against those Flyers. We're not going to see Michael Neuwirth. He's out a couple weeks. He's got an injury, so we'll be seeing their backup quarterback. Quarterback? What? Wrong sport.
You never know.
We're going to see their backup goalie. That game is at noon, and it's primetime. I'm really bad at words today. It is at noon.
That's right.
On broadcast television. Everybody's going to get this one. This is going to be on NBC. And then on Tuesday, February 9th, the Capitals are back in Nashville, home of the All-Star Game, up against the Predators. That game is at 8 o'clock, a little later of a start on Comcast Sportsnet. So that is pretty much it for the show this week, guys. Hope you have a good time. Enjoy those Caps games. We got 4 to talk about until we get back here. Until then, though, say it loud, say it proud. Oh, yeah, before we do that, you're in Hershey, and you're up there on the game on Sunday. Shoot me a tweet, and we'll get a picture or something together. I'd love to meet some people that are What the Puckers up in Hershey. Let me know if you'll be there. All right, guys, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. That's not what I wanted to say.
I don't know what you wanted to say, so I can't help you, but